Welcome to Upon This Rock with pastor and Bible teacher Chris McCarrick of Cornerstone Calvary Chapel. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by God's Word.
The Word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Isn't God so gracious and good? The Word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time.
Jesus, you're my everything. My heart beats for you, filled with power and mystery. Lord, I thirst for you. You are everything. You are everything. Lord, you are beautiful, awesome and wonderful.
On today's edition of Upon This Rock, as we continue our study through the book of Jonah, we begin a two-part study titled Fulfilling God's Will. Here is Pastor Chris now with a teaching from Jonah chapter 3, beginning in verse 1.
Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Well, we know that Jonah was the reluctant prophet. And he was called by God to preach to the Ninevites, but he resisted God's will because he hated the Ninevites. And he tried to run away. And if you've ever done anything like that, you know how uncomfortable God can make things for you when you try to run away from him. In Jonah's case, we see that he tried to run from God and get into a ship and sail away, but God brought a storm to him. And it was a storm of correction, a storm that still did not bring Jonah to repentance. He still didn't come to a place where he gave in to God and said, "Okay, take me to Nineveh and everything will be okay." In the midst of that storm, God used it to bring the mariners, the sailors who were taking Jonah there, to bring them to a relationship with him. But during that time, Jonah, we know, said, "Look, I'm the reason for the storm, so throw me overboard." And they reluctantly did. And as they threw Jonah into the sea ceased from its raging. And then a great fish came along, whether a whale or what it may have been, we don't know. But it came and swallowed Jonah up. And he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish. And it says, and then Jonah prayed. It unfortunately took him 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish to finally pray. What does it take you to pray? Hopefully not 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. God used the storm to get Jonah into the sea, and Jonah thought he was going to die there, but God used the whale to move Jonah into his will and his plan for his life. And God will use whatever he needs to use in your life and in my life to get us going in the direction that he wants us to go. We need to see that God wants his best for our life. That's God's heart for you. He wants God's best for you. The best thing for Jonah was that he would go and preach to the Ninevites. It was the purpose that he was made for. We really don't ever hear anything more about Jonah for the rest of his life, so we know that this was the great call, the great commission of Jonah's life, to go and preach to the Ninevites. And even though he may have known it or acknowledged it, it was still his purpose. And I believe there are many people who are like this today. They do the same thing. They have a purpose or calling by God that he created them for. But they resist God's plan and God's purpose. And let me say this, when you resist God's plan and God's purpose, you are never really fulfilled in your life. You are never what you should be. Notice the message title today is Fulfilling God's Will. But it's more than that. It's not just fulfilling God's will, but it's receiving fulfillment in fulfilling God's will. You see, it's in doing God's will that you experience the abundant Christian life. It's in doing what we know to do as Christians. And in my own experience, I have done this. I have resisted God's will in my life at times. Way back when I had a call on my life to the ministry, I tried to fulfill that calling early on in the ministry. And as I shared with you a few weeks, I tried to start a church and it failed. I remember the 1 week I showed up and no one came to church. Let me tell you, that's depressing. And I thought I was done. I thought I was finished. I would never preach again. Fast forward years later, when God gave me a second chance, the option to start another church came about, and I initially tried to get out of that too. I tried to get someone else to pastor the church. Nobody would come. And so, with some encouragement from some people, some counsel, and much prayer, I stepped out in faith. And we did it. If I had forsaken that call, all of what we've experienced wouldn't be here today. Now, I believe God would have raised up a church anyway because God is God and he certainly doesn't need me, right? But I would have missed out on the tremendous blessing to do what I do and to be fulfilled in what I do. I remember when I used to talk about being in the ministry and I used to think, if I could just get through one single day without wanting to be in the ministry, then I could, okay, I'd be okay, I'll think it's okay. I couldn't, even when I was in a backslidden state, I couldn't get through a day without thinking about it. Because God had put that call on my life. And our God is a God of second chances. And it says in that first verse that God came to Jonah a second time, the second time. And what is it that keeps people from fulfilling God's will in their life? Well, chapter 2 of the book of Jonah, we looked at it last week, but I want to draw your attention to it once again in verse 8, where it says, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." The worthless idol in the life of Jonah was his own pride, his own desire to do his own will. You see, Jonah basically said, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to obey the Lord. I'm going to do what I want to do. And this is exactly what people say, many people. And maybe you've been in this place yourself. Maybe you're in this place right now where you're just saying, well, I know God's will is X, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live immorally, and I don't care. I'm going to blow my money, and I don't care. I'm going to go into that relationship regardless of what God's telling me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. You see, it's you doing your will. But God says, no, no, no. I want you to do my will. And when you do my will, you will be fulfilled. And when you don't do that, you forsake the mercy of God. And God has offered us so much, folks. He loves us so much. He's given us so much grace and mercy. And Jonah finally comes to this place. In the belly of the fish, he finally prays, we know. And he says in verse 9 of chapter 2, but I will sacrifice to you. Now, he couldn't do a burnt offering inside the whale. That would be a little messy. He had fried whale from the inside, right? But he says, with the voice, notice, the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. We just had Thanksgiving. And you know, you can always give thanks. No matter what situation you're in, no matter where you are in life, you can always give thanks. In fact, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I want you to notice, it does not say, for everything give thanks. You know, it's not like I cut myself shaving and I go, oh, thank the Lord that I'm bleeding, you know. No, it's in everything give thanks. It's in spite of the fact that I cut myself shaving, thank you, Lord, that I'm not bleeding too much. And we can pray without ceasing. And Jonah is sort of singing in the whale, if you will. He's worshiping there, like Paul and Silas did in prison that time, when they were arrested in the Philippi and they were put into prison. They were put into that place. And you know, they didn't know they were going to escape. They didn't know they were going to get out. They'd been beaten. But yet there in the middle of the night in that prison, they offered praise to the Lord. That's a choice we have in every situation we're in. And I confess, I don't always do it. I wish I did it more. That in that time when I'm frustrated and I'm uptight, that I would just stop and say, no, 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 Lord, thank you. And I maybe would just begin to praise him. By the way, how do you think the fish felt when he got rid of Jonah? You know, I think it was probably sort of like that old commercial, plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is, you know? Just kind of boom, it's done, man. But we see verse 1 again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Isn't God so gracious and good? The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. You know, the word of the Lord came to a number of men in the Bible a second time. I think of Manasseh, the most wicked king that Israel ever had, and was involved in idolatry. And yet in his latter years, he repented, gave his heart back to God, and Manasseh was able to have influence on another king, one of the best kings, if perhaps not the best king other than David that Israel ever had, a young man by the name of Josiah, who it says that he sat and learned at the knees of his grandfather, whose name was Manasseh. The grace of God. The word of the Lord came a second time to him. He got a second chance. David, who sinned with Bathsheba and committed adultery and murder. And when he wrote and penned Psalm 51, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, by the way, it wasn't that David wasn't saved. It's just that he was really messed up. Can we say today that some of us are saved but even still messed up? Can we relate to David in that? And David, he came to that place after Nathan the prophet came and told him that it was him, that he was the one. It says that David owned that sin. And he said, against you and you only have I sinned, O Lord. And the word of the Lord came to David a second time. And the word of the Lord came to even men like Samson a second time. I think of Samson, who was the strongest man around. And I don't think Samson, by the way, was a big guy. I think he was probably a scrawny little guy. And that's what made him look so incredibly powerful. You know, here's this scrawny guy who's taking on all these Philistines and killing them. But you know, we know that Samson compromised in his life. He was a Nazarite and he had been set aside for God. And he compromised and he compromised. And eventually he compromised so much that he lost the power. He gave the secret of his strength away, which was the power that God gave him through the Nazarite vow. And the last vestige of that Nazarite vow was the cutting of his hair. And when they cut his hair, Samson, the Bible says, very, very sad verse, and Samson became like any other man. May we as Christians never become like any other man. And Samson became like any other man, and that was the sad thing. But the word of the Lord came to Samson a second time, because you know what the Bible says? It says, and his hair began to grow again. You see, that's the grace of God. His hair began to grow again. And as his hair grew again, he became strong again. And when he was in chains and he had his eyes gouged out, he prayed to the Lord that day and he said, "Lord, give me strength that I might destroy these Philistines one last time for the sake of my eyes." And he takes and he puts his hands on those pillars, you remember. And he pushes those pillars, and it says that 3,000 men died that day, 3,000 Philistines. It says that he killed more Philistines in that day in his death than he did in all of his life. And the word of the Lord came to him again. And the word of the Lord came to Peter again. Turn to John 21, and as you're turning there, remember the story. Remember Peter. Remember that he was a man who had denied the Lord. Where Jesus had said to them, Peter, and Peter, "Lord, I'll fight for you. I'll kill for you. I'll do anything, Lord. You don't understand, Lord. I'll go to my death for you." Jesus said, "Peter, Peter, you, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times, Peter." And we know that he does deny him. And on that final time when he denied him, he turned and in the courtyard, his eyes, he could see Jesus and he met Jesus' eyes. And it says that Jesus looked at him, and I'm sure that that was a look of love and care, but Peter had a look of shame and fear, and he ran away and he wept and he hid and he was ashamed. And then when the rest of the disciples came, he said, "I'm going fishing." Even after Jesus was risen from the dead and he had seen Jesus risen from the dead, he wasn't restored. He wasn't back where he had been. He just said, "I'm going fishing, guys. I can't. I'm useless. I'm a fisherman. I'm not a fisherman anymore. I'm a fisherman. That's all I am. I denied the Lord. I'll never be used by God again." And I believe that Peter believed that. I think that Peter thought he was done. But the word of the Lord came to Peter a second time. Look at verse 15. "So when they had had breakfast," they had eaten breakfast, "Jesus said to Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?'" Now, Jesus is doing a couple things here. He's using the word agape. Do you agape love me? Do you love me with that perfect love? And then he says, "more than these." Now, there's a lot of debate on what "more than these" were. There's a whole pile of fish sitting there they had just eaten. "Do you love me more than your full belly of fish, Peter? Do you love me more than all the fish I just caught for you, Peter? Do you love me more than all of these disciples, Peter? Do you love me more than the Sea of Galilee, Peter? Do you love me more than all this?" Maybe it's all of those above. It doesn't really matter what it is. Do you love me more than these? What matters to you and I is when Jesus says to us, "Do you love me more than these?" What are the "these" in your life? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me, Peter? Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you." Now, there's a play on words here you need to make sure you're aware of. Maybe you've heard it before. Jesus uses the word agape. Do you agape love me? But in this word, Peter says, "Lord, I phileo love you. I love you like a brother. I love you like you're my best friend. I'm really fond of you, Jesus." And it was the best that Peter could do. It's all he had. And so he gave the Lord all he had. But Jesus doesn't say to him, "Okay, Peter, since you only phileo love me, you know what, Peter? You're going to have to do a lot of penance. You know what, Pete? I'm expecting you to really prove yourself, Peter. You know, after all, you're supposed to be an apostle. You're supposed to be somebody unique, Peter." No, he doesn't do that. What does he say? "Do you love me more than these? Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. I'm going to give you a second chance, Peter. Here it is." And he said to him a second time, again he says to him, "Simon, son of Jonah." And do you notice that, by the way? Simon, son of who? Jonah. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think Jesus is using his surname, Simon, son of Jonah, in that way, perhaps reminding Peter, "You're a bit like that prophet who got swallowed by the fish. Remember that guy?" You can be sure that Peter knew the story. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me?" "Lord, you know I phileo you." He answers him the same way again. "All right, then don't just feed my lambs, but take care of my sheep, tend my sheep, shepherd them." And he said to him a third time, Now, here's the thing. Here's what Jesus says the third time. Simon, do you phileo me? See, Jesus changes the word now. Do you phileo me? Peter grieved because he said to him a third time, do you phileo me? Do you love me like a brother? It bummed Peter out. He'd already told him twice, Lord, what are you doing to me right now? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. You know that I love you. Jesus says, okay. If that's the best you can give me, Pete, I'll take it. But feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Peter, you're getting a second chance. And here's what he says to him. Listen, look at verse 18 with me carefully. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. That is the picture of the Christian life of one who does their own will. And that was Peter. He was a self-willed man. When you are old, you will do something differently. Here's what he says. When you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. In other words, Peter, if you love me, lay down your life for me, Peter. Are you willing to give your life? Are you willing to do my will? And he spoke that, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And then he said, follow me. Jesus' restoration of Peter that day is amazing. And when you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and you don't need to go there, I'll just read it to you. Listen to what Peter says. Therefore, brethren, I'm sorry, this is 2 Peter 1. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. You see, Peter knew what it was to have a call and an election that was sure. Now, what that sure means is it's standing on a firm foundation. And he said, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he said, knowing that I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. You see, Peter learned that he needed to be a man. He needed to be one who would remind others. And he learned that he was one who got a second chance. So God gives Peter a second chance. God gives Samson a second chance. God gives David a second chance. God gives Manasseh a second chance. And God gives Jonah a second chance.
You've been listening to Upon This Rock with Pastor Chris McCary. As we bring this program to a close today, we'd like to remind you that you can have a CD copy of today's message by emailing us at info@cstonecc.org or giving us a call at 732-901-5525. For more information about our ministry, visit us on the web at cstonecc.org. When you get in touch with us, just ask for CD number UTR3205. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Upon This Rock. Join us next time as we continue our study through the book of Jonah. Lord, you are beautiful, awesome.